This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Thursday, September 24th, 2020. Today you'll hear about Trump promising to save more babies. Millions of COVID dollars are buying jet engine parts. Seattle is adding crack cocaine to their drunken frenzy in more ways than one. Capitol Hill Baptist flexes at least one muscle. Rush Limbaugh has a word for the Senate, a CDC Halloween, Bloomberg is buying votes, and will they put another man on the moon? Remember, if you come across a news story you think we might need to cover, please send it to news@crosspolitik.com. This is a great way to share articles and stories with us that may end up in our daily or weekly shows. That's news@crosspolitik.com. President Donald Trump announced in a pre-recorded video at the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast Wednesday morning that he plans to sign a Born Alive executive order ensuring medical care for all babies, including those born prematurely or after an attempted abortion.
I will always protect the vital role of religion and prayer in American society, and I will always defend the sacred right to life. Today I am announcing that I will be signing the Born Alive executive order to ensure that all precious babies born alive, no matter their circumstances, receive the medical care that they deserve. This is our sacrosanct moral duty. We are also increasing federal funding for the neonatal research to ensure that every child has the very best chance to thrive and to grow.
A $1 billion fund Congress gave the Pentagon in March to build up the country's supplies of medical equipment has instead been mostly funneled to defense contractors and used to make things like jet engine parts, body armor, and dress uniforms, according to the Washington Post. The CARES Act, which Congress passed earlier this year, gave the Pentagon money to prevent, prepare for, and respond to coronavirus. But a few weeks later, the Defense Department began reshaping how it would award the money in a way that represented a major departure from Congress's intent. I'm shocked, I tell you. People getting tons of money, free money from the government, and diverting it to other purposes. I bet you someone might have even spent their money on, I don't know, guns. DOD officials contend that they have sought to strike a balance between boosting American medical production and supporting the defense industry, whose health they consider critical to national security. Hey, you can play with words, so can we. The health of the industry, you know? Speaking of emergency orders, the Pentagon, which as of 2016 employed more than 156,000 people, that's 156,000 people working in acquisitions alone, also has lent its expertise to the Department of Health and Human Services as it seeks to purchase billions of dollars in needed medical equipment. See, we're sharing, people. We're thankful the Congress provided authorities and resources that enabled the executive branch to invest in domestic production of critical medical resources and protect key defense capabilities from the consequences of COVID. Ellen Lord, the Pentagon's Undersecretary for Acquisition and Sustainment, said in a statement, "We need to always remember that economic security and national security are very tightly interrelated, and our industrial base is really the nexus of the two." Nice. That's politicalese for just leave us alone. We're going to spend the money however we want. Seattle's Education Association Representative Assembly, the union body that represents actually Seattle's teachers, nurses, librarians, basically the whole system, the man. Shall we just call it the man? The liberal man. Or maybe it's Karen. I don't know. Instructional assistants, official professionals, office professionals, educational support staff, all that state-funded nonsense, that union, has overwhelmingly passed 7 resolutions bravely. So bravely, with quivering lips, in order to support Black Lives Matter. Now, coming out from the shadows with even greater courage, they have taken a bold new step, saith Seattle Times, calling for a 50% cut from the $409 million already budgeted for the Seattle Police Department this year. 50%. Cut it. Seattle educators now understand the words of Michelle Alexander, leading human rights advocate and author of The New Jim Crow, who recently wrote, "After decades of reform, countless commissions and task forces, and millions of dollars poured into smart-on-crime approaches, the police behave with about as much brutality today as they did in 1966. More than 95% of arrests every year are for nonviolent offenses like loitering, fare evasion, and theft." Oh my goodness. There's so much of a mess here. But, you know, on the one hand, it's true that a bunch of the law enforcement reforms that have been passed over the last 50, 60 years have not been biblically based. If you don't base law enforcement on biblical law, on God's law, on the Ten Commandments, and working out the case law from Scripture, the general equity of that law, look, you're going to end up with brutality. You're going to end up with tyranny. You're going to end up misusing, mistreating, and harming people. It's true. So there's probably real problems in Seattle law enforcement. On the other hand, are we going to get justice from the woke priests? I think not. Anyways, Seattle's mayor, the resolution demands, like how they have demands. The Seattle's mayor and city council must protect and expand investments to make our community safe, prioritizing community-led health and safety strategies, full access to affordable housing, community-based anti-violence programs, trauma services and treatment, universal childcare, free public transit, and chocolate milk for everyone. Okay, that doesn't say chocolate milk for everyone, but free candy? I don't know. They want everything. Seattle Council voted to override Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin's recent veto of cuts to the police department's remaining 2020 budget by a 7-2 vote. So they passed it. Mayor Jenny vetoed it, and now the Seattle Council has overridden the veto, with the mayor issuing a statement after the fact indicating that she might not adhere to all the provisos laid out in the council's proposal. Neener, I think is what she said. We cannot look away from this, and we can no longer accept the status quo if we truly believe that Black Lives Matter, said Council President Lorena Gonzalez. Is she the Marxist? I can't remember. After expressing that she would be voting to override the mayor's veto. Notice, too, that what they think of people is that they think that problems are caused solely by the fact that people don't have stuff. But that's completely unbiblical. The problems are caused by sin. It's a spiritual, immaterial problem that's in the heart and soul of every man, woman, and child. And you can't fix that by giving them free chocolate milk or childcare or free public transit. Next up in the category, if you won't believe this, except it's 2020, so you probably will, Seattle is paying an ex-pimp $150,000 a year to act as the city's street czar. In other words, he's not really an ex-pimp. And offer alternatives to policing. Taylor was a critic of the Capitol Hill occupied protest, CHOP. Remember CHOP? But his critique was he thought the protesters left too easily. He said, you got to get something. Let me make that happen for you, and then I can bring that back to you. I don't know. We'll ask for $2 million. They might give us $1 million, but let's ask for it, because the reason why we're holding that space is not only for George Floyd, but for the millions of George Floyds. Got to get the money, he said. He pimps for the people. Taylor's July contract was first reported on by Publicola, is with the city's Department of Neighborhoods. It designates him as a consultant hired to, quote, act as an advisor to the city of Seattle and street czar community liaison. Street czar? Really? We want street czars. Seattle, run. Mayor Durkin believes that we have to make deep investments in community, one of the key demands of the Black Lives Matter demands. They're making demands. You know who makes demands? People who are holding someone captive. They're like ransom demands. You'll get your daughter back. You'll get your son back. You'll get your wife back when you meet our demands. I wouldn't do a deal there. Large prominent Evangelical Capitol Hill Church late Tuesday filed a legal challenge to the District of Columbia, alleging the city government is violating the First Amendment by facilitating and tolerating massive anti-racism protests, but forbidding worship services indoor or outdoor of more than 100 because of the COVID. The complaint was filed by 850 member Capitol Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Mark Dever, who's closely associated with Jonathan Lehman, who you might remember we had on Cross Politic just a few weeks ago, talking about some of this stuff. This is the first legal challenge by a religious organization to Washington, D.C.'s coronavirus restrictions. There have been two others in the region, one in Virginia and one in Maryland, the Washington Post reports. The suit filed in U.S. District Court challenges the city's limits on worship generally, but asks specifically only for the right to meet outdoors. Ah, only outdoors. Don't got that John MacArthur, you know, backbone yet. But maybe they're trying. Maybe they're practicing. You know, this is the girl push-ups, and pretty soon they're going to graduate to man push-ups. It notes that Bowser appeared at a huge anti-racism, Bowser's the mayor of D.C., appeared at a huge anti-racism rally in June because that's the church service you're allowed to attend, and that city police have been assigned to protect such events, and that her office has not enforced its own ban on outdoor gatherings of more than 50 people, so long as it's in the name of Black Lives Matter. The 26-page complaint focuses on legally contrasting the city's Phase 2 guidelines for houses of worship, which allows services and activities for up to 100 people or up to 50% of the building's capacity, whichever is fewer, with what it sees as permissiveness for the large public rallies that took place this summer and Bowser's comments publicly in support of large Black Lives Matter-related events. Again, people, it's a religious thing. Which God are you going to serve? Which church can you go to? I am looking forward to seeing everyone who registered for the Fight Laugh Feast conference in Franklin, Tennessee, just outside Nashville, next week. It is upon us, people. Registration is now officially closed. Very, very sorry. It's going to be packed and glorious. We are so thankful for everyone who's coming. If you register for the conference, you should have emails in your inbox, at least one, with details about hotels nearby if you need to switch hotels. A schedule with the itinerary for the conference, kicking off with beer and psalms Thursday night, ending with a Sabbath feast, food trucks, and a bunch of talks to kick you in the mouth and send you home smiling. But wait, for all the rest of you, do not be gloomy. Don't be sad. We will be live streaming and making all conference talks available to club members because we love you. And we're so thankful for you. So talks from Douglas Wilson, George Grant, Glenn Sunshine, David Bonson, Jeff Durbin, me, a live show with the whole Fight Laugh Feast Network. If you're a member, you will be getting this. We will send you links. You can watch it live. You can watch it archived. If you're not already a member, what are you waiting for? Go to FightLaughFeast.com today. Become a member. Support Rowdy Christian Media and get your smile on. Next up. Rush Limbaugh suggests the Senate just skip the tradition of holding hearings for the Supreme Court.
You know, I mentioned that the Judiciary Committee does not have to do its thing. It's become a tradition, but it's not a requirement. And since Trump has already driven them crazy, long before today, they are crazy, then why not just blow up another tradition? Because I'll tell you, that's how we're going to maintain the ones that matter.
Hey, I don't know. Why not? Why not? You don't have to go through that trouble. Why shoot yourself in the foot? Why not just put them up? Straight vote. You got the votes. Approve him. Approve her. Assuming it's a good nominee. Let's see what they do. So some of you maybe are noticing some of the stories in the news about Halloween. You know, Halloween's coming up, speaking of traditions, and people are starting to ask, you know, with the COVID, what should we do? Now, you know, this is kind of a, you know, dangerous thing to bring up. You know, Christians are divided over the exact helpfulness and usefulness of this. And to be clear, I'm not a big fan at all of dressing kids up like the enemy. We shouldn't dress them up like the other team, you know, demons and devils and, you know, I don't know, pimps who run Seattle, you know, street czars. You know, we shouldn't dress them up like that. But it is kind of funny. That in a year where, you know, everybody's masked, where we're sort of living in perpetual Halloween, what shall we do? And of course, there's the scariness of this bad flu. Everyone's panicked. Everyone's freaked out. So we're sort of living in this perpetual Halloween. And on the flip side, I don't think it's not a big deal to have, you know, kids dress up like superheroes or Bible characters or Martin Luther and celebrate Reformation Day and go around the neighborhood and ask for candy. I don't think that's a huge deal. But I don't really want to quarrel about that. My point is, I just wanted to point out to you that on the CDC website, there's a whole long list of low-risk activities, moderate-risk activities, and high-risk activities. It's all, you know, they're ready for you. So carving and decorating pumpkins with members of your household and displaying them, low risk. Decorating your house, apartment, or living space, low risk. Also, you can have a virtual Halloween costume contest, low risk. You can have a Halloween movie night with people you live with, also low risk. Okay, moderate risk. Participating in a one-way trick-or-treating where individually wrapped goodie bags are lined up for families to grab and go while continuing to social distance, such as at the end of your driveway or at the edge of a yard. This is getting even more scary than usual. You could attend a costume party held outdoors where protective masks are used. Not just regular Halloween masks, but protective masks. And people can remain more than 6 feet apart. A costume mask, such as for Halloween, is not a substitute for a cloth mask because neither of them work. Neither of them does any good, but it's not a substitute. A costume mask should not be used unless it is made of two or more layers of breathable fabric. Like, it's like three tennis nets, three volleyball nets. That will really help keep the mosquitoes out. Also, it covers the mouth and the nose, doesn't leave gaps around the face at all. No gaps. Maybe use duct tape. Okay, high-risk activities. Participating in traditional trick-or-treating, where treats are handed to children directly, door-to-door. This is high-risk. Crowded costume parties held indoors. Going to an indoor haunted house. Going on hay rides, tractor rides. Hay rides actually attract the COVID. Hay is attractive. COVID loves hay. And horses, and also being outside with people who are not from your family. Also, using alcohol or drugs. But they should have told that to Seattle. Okay, enough. Billionaire Michael Bloomberg has reportedly raised more than $16 million in an effort to help convicted felons in Florida register to vote. The Florida Rights Restoration Coalition estimates Bloomberg has raised enough money to pay off the monetary obligations of 32,000 felons. Florida passed a law in 2018 reinstating voting rights for felons that dictated they could register only if they paid all their fines, fees, and restitution. Hey, that's a biblical thing. Well, the restitution part, I mean. Sometimes totaling more than $1,000 per felon owed to the government. That's not biblical. They didn't steal from you, Florida. You are a greedy thief. They ought to be paying back whoever they stole it from. You know, the actual person they committed the crime against. All right. Anyways, the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which covers Florida last week, ruled to uphold that law. So they can vote as long as they pay off their debts. Bloomberg offers to pay it. He's raised up enough to pay off the debts of 32,000 felons. I'm not really sure if, biblically speaking, felons can't vote. I mean, I don't know what I think about that. Anyway, NASA on Monday revealed its latest plan to return astronauts to the moon in 2024, estimating the cost to meet that deadline at $28 billion, $16 billion of which would be spent on the lunar landing module. Now, I think this is really cool, but I don't think the federal government should be doing it. Let Elon Musk put people on the moon. Let private enterprise put people on the moon. I don't think we're quite at the Star Wars phase yet. I mean, I suppose we need some space defense sort of thing, but, you know, let private enterprise jump into this, drive it, and bring the prices down, which is what these sort of things do. Congress, which faces elections on November 3rd, which is my birthday, by the way, will have to sign off on the financing for a project that has been set by President Donald Trump as a top priority. The $28 billion would cover the budgetary years of 2021 to 2025. But of course, we're facing, you know, political risks of sorts because the House is completely up for grabs here on November 3rd. Barack Obama canceled plans for a manned Mars mission. The nerve, after his predecessor spent billions of dollars on the project. This is Toby Sumter with Cross Baltic News. Remember to send us stories and articles that you think we should cover at news@crossbaltic.com. You can find this in all our shows at crossbaltic.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight Laugh Feast. Support Rowdy Christian Media. Become a Fight Laugh Feast club member and get your very own Fight Laugh Feast t-shirt. and live and archive access to all the talks at our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference coming up next week. Become a member now at FightLaughFeast.com. Have a great day.